Good morning, everyone. Let's have a word of prayer first. Again. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy will. That is important over all things that we do or say. So even as our brother and our sister leave Penang for their further studies, we do pray that thy will may be done in their lives. Even as we consider thy will, how important it is in our own lives that remain here in this assembly in Penang. Speak to us even now according to thy word and according to thy will. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Today, we begin a study on lessons from the life and times of Nehemiah. I know you have been studying the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, even Esther, in great detail. But I'm not going into a textual study of the books. In fact, I'm basing what I'm going to say on what you have studied, to see even perhaps to challenge us if you have benefited spiritually, practically from such studies, or it has just been an increase in knowledge in the Word. Now, just 2 days ago, I was watching over YouTube and I came along this poster to all elected officials. If your religion is more important than your constitution, then you should work in a church and mosque or a synagogue and keep out of public office. Well, is it perhaps in the light of so many incidents where religion had crept into the world of politics and the world we live in, so that people are fearful of religion? Should we keep our faith from being seen, being exercised in the place of work, where we are, what we do? A few years ago, my son wrote a book called Barefoot Leadership. And he challenged all those who would read this book to bring their faith into their place of work. That's why barefoot leadership. If you want to be a leader, take off your shoes, be barefoot, go into the market and testify. And this is what I wrote about and I preached on about 20 years ago in one of the assemblies when we studied the lessons on the life and times of Nehemiah. So, the motto which I would like to pass on to you today is, rise up for God and build your work. Can we take our faith into the work, or should we take our faith into the work? Barefoot leadership suggests that we do. And I confirm it very firmly and strongly that we do. That our faith must be where we are, in study or at work, in service in the church, wherever it may be. We must go barefoot to testify to our faith and let the principles of our faith govern what we do in public. This will therefore be a study of Nehemiah chapters 1 to 5. Now, I won't be going through every chapter, but taking out certain principles that relate to our study on the barefoot leadership. The purpose of the passage from chapters 1 to 5 is on a study of work principles. Many of us are working, some teachers, some doctors, some nurses, some clerks. Well, various occupations. We are going to study certain principles from scriptures that we need to apply and adhere to in order to be good witnesses for God. The word work occurs many times in Nehemiah chapter 3 and 4, with reference to the work of rebuilding and repairing of the wall. But we won't refer to them as such, but we shall refer to the principles behind the acts. By studying the principles involved in the work, we can also apply them to the present working situations. It is very, very important that what we are in the world today, we know is of God's choice. Whether we be in school, in college, or at place of work, that it is God's choice that we should be where we are and be doing what we are doing. You may call it coincidence, you may call it chance, but I believe it to be the commissioned calling of God in my career. I knew and I was concerned with the will of God from the very beginning as a student, the moment I was saved in 1950. And the verse that stirred me up was Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The will of God struck me. The will of God became not a chance, not a coincidence, but the commissioned calling of God. So that I asked, when I was in Form 4, or to state the actual terms, Standard 8, when I knew that in Standard 9, school certificate, I would leave school and would have to go for a career, a job, I seriously, for one whole year, prayed that the will of God be done in our lives. Be open to me that I may know. And so I prayed. And this teaching career of mine of 38 years would be the fulfillment of the will of God. Now, I have no time this morning to elaborate on so many incidents in my career as a teacher. Now, the Lord opened the way. I would like to say from the very beginning, from the very first day to the very first day, to the last day of my teaching career, I never even wrote a letter of application to apply for a job. The Lord's will, the Lord's way, the Lord opened the way. Let me just give you one illustration. I pray, Lord, please show me what you want me to do and where you want me to go in Standard 8. That will be Form 4. And then one whole year I pray. And at the end of Form 5, my class received a letter from the principal. Those of you who would like to be teachers, send in your names. The Lord had convicted me that I should be a teacher. And that opportunity came when that letter from Mr. J.E. Todd came, and there I was, receiving that instruction. If you want to be a teacher, give your name to the monitor. I gave. And since then, I have become a teacher for 38 years, and up to today, it's over 60 years already. I have been to 13 institutions. I have taught in Standard 1, Standard 2, Standard 3, Standard 4, Standard 5, Standard 6, Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, Form 4, became a senior assistant, became a headmaster, became a lecturer in a teacher's college, training teachers, all through. Never even wrote a letter of application. The Lord just opened the way. Just as the Lord opened the way, the Lord also shut the door. Just give me one more instance, and then I have to go on. 1960, train of sower. Now, all right, never mind. After I was in the primary school, I applied for the STTI. You see there in number 7, STTI, the Specialist Teachers Institute. I studied very hard. This is men's effort. No one graduating from STTI would ever be sent out of his home state. Now, our sister Jenny, was there. And that year, the education minister came up with a new ruling. All people like her who went into STTI for the normal course, and all people like me would be sent out from the home state. She would stay in the home state. And so I was sent out to Mentakab. And then in every single instance, the Lord had sent me to a school, to an institution, to start a work for the Lord. Now, I have no time to go through, but the Lord had been very, very good. And the Lord, people say, now you are down for trouble. You are sent to the East Coast, you'll be there for 7 years. After the first year, I applied orally to come back. No, the minister, the officer wanted bribe. I said, no, I stayed back. My former teacher was sent transferred from Penang Free School to Mentakab, to Temelo, to Kuantan, And then I saw him and he said, go back. Go back to Penang. He transferred me back to Penang on 1st of May, on 13 May 1969. Trouble started and record. Imagine what would happen if I were in Pahang without telegrams, without telephone, without the phone, and my family in Penang. The Lord knew the way. The Lord would open his doors. The Lord would shut his doors. So remember this, that where you are, whatever you are today, do you know the will of God? Right, let's go into our study. Nehemiah, the Jew, chapter 1. Not less that he was a Jew with a passion. It says there, one of my brethren came and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews, you need to have a passion. As a Christian, you need to have a passion for God's people. Secondly, he asked, which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem, the place. The place would be the church, a passion for Jerusalem. The church, all this because you are a child of God. You need to have a vision. You need to have a passion. You need to seek the will of God for your ministry among his people in the place where his people meet. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. May your career, may what you choose to be, always be a desire to fear thy name. Prosper, and then you prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. This is an important prayer for all who want to seek the Lord's will in your career. Have you ever prayed this prayer in your life, whatever you be, as a senior assistant, or as a nurse, or as a clerk, or whatever profession you take, have you ever sought the will of God? Up to today, for example, this morning, as I prayed, Lord, let the will be done, and, well, the Lord, I think, will want me to cut my study with you short, because I have not much time. I will take 2 meetings to cover today's study. But never mind. Let the will of the Lord be done. What I have to cover, let it be covered. So, Let's touch on his profession. You know, if you study, if you look at Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, after all the statements about his prayer, then came one last sentence, "For I was the king's cupbearer." That was his profession. That was what he was called to be. He was called to be in the king's palace, to be the king's cupbearer, and he must fulfill it. It was God's will to serve in a Babylonian king's and in a Persian king's palace. Sometimes that's what it should be, doing the Lord's will. What kind of person should he be as the king's cupbearer? Now we therefore deal with his calling. Remember, he was a king's cupbearer because God called him to. God opened the opportunity for him to be. God opened the door for him to go in. As such, the king's cupbearer. Therefore, as a king's cupbearer, he had an important responsibility before God to fulfill his will in his life. Compare the Christian, God's worker with a calling. And where you are, as a teacher, as a nurse, as a doctor, as a clerk, as a gardener, whatever you may be, you have a heavenly calling. God has placed you where you are, or even taxi driver, or whatever it is. God has placed you there with a calling. Your citizenship is in heaven. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest and profession Christ Jesus. Don't fail him. You have a holy calling. You need to lead a holy life where you are and what you are in your career, a holy living. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, according to Christ Jesus. And you also have a high calling concerned with God's glory in high, on high. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All because of Christ Jesus. For God, God has placed you there. God has called you to be there. God has called you to be what you are there. Barefoot leadership. You may be a leader. You may be a follower. Are you putting the Christian faith in your life to be what you are? Consider now Nehemiah the man. The man as the one who is there as a teacher or as a nurse or as a doctor or as whatever you may be. How are you going to behave? Nehemiah was a man with a vocation that while he was there as a under a human profession, he was under God's calling, God's vocation. He was the king's cupbearer. I like that one sentence, the short sentence in verse 11. He was a king's cupbearer. Everything said about him, and at the end, he was a king's cupbearer. You are a Christian. What kind of life do you lead? Do your colleagues know that you are a Christian? Do they know that you have been a Christian all these years? Or you are just among them, one of them? This is the challenge for today. Primarily, he was engaged in God's business. God had placed him there. He was supposed to be doing God's business. Although he was doing his work as a gardener, although he was doing his work as a clerk, he was God's man in that area, in that position. God had placed him in his profession. God had a purpose for him in his program. Are you carrying out your life career according to your own ambitions? Or are you carrying out God's ambitions in your life, through your life, to others? He saw his position in God's perspective. As I said, I had no time to stay with you. Every institution I was placed in, I had a corresponding work and ministry in the Christian service. When I was teaching in Butterworth, I was involved in Butterworth Sunday School. When I was teaching in Penang Free School, I was involved in the training of teachers and workers in Bumrungrad Gospel Hall. And when I was in Mentakap School, I was helping Dr. Ng Eng Kee in establishing work in Temelo Gospel Chapel. And so the Lord has placed you where you are to fulfill His aim and His goal for that area, for that purpose. Are you fulfilling it? Barefoot leadership. How do we regard our profession in relation to God's will and work for us? Is it just to earn a living, or is it to fulfill God's will? Or leave your faith aside. Don't bring it into the place of work because it offends. When your work is to promote the work, it can never offend. Secondly, he was employed in the king's business. While he was employed in God's business, he was a gardener. He was a cupbearer. He was a teacher or whatever it was. He was to fulfill his duty as a person in that career. He was a cupbearer to the king, his profession. That was his profession. He was cheerful before the king, chapter 2, verse 1, ever willing to do the work, never being accused of cheating in his work. But there he was, doing his work industriously for what he was in that profession. Chapter 2, verse 1, he was consistent in the king's work. And it said he was never sad before the king because he was ever doing his work to the king as he did. When he did the work to the Lord, he would be doing his work to the king. And therefore, the king was happy with him. He tried to conceal his personal problems, but his countenance gave him away. The king saw through that he was very concerned for what he was spiritually. He constantly consulted God in his predicaments. And while he was sad, while he was heartbroken, he cried, even as I cried, unto the Lord, why you send me to Mentakap? Why do you send me to Temelo? I had just got a baby 3 months old. And how can you separate me from my wife and my children? Oh Lord, how can it be? Go. And I took that 40 miles road from Kuala Lumpur to Bentong, 40 miles of winding road. At that time, it was never developed. Go. I cried. But the Lord had a purpose for me to do by sending me there. And after I finished the work, I told the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to teach anymore. I had taught them everything I knew, how to be at assembly. And Lord said, go back. 1st of May, he sent me back. 13th of May, racial riot. Can you imagine what would happen at that time without a phone and having to use telegram, how costly it was to contact me between my wife and myself? The Lord's will is best. And people kept on asking me, you must have been pulling cables to go back within one year. You should be there in 7 years. I said, yes, I pulled a very strong cable from above. That's how I came back. This is what happens when you are prepared to do the will of God. There will be persecutions. There will be troubles. There will be problems. But at the end of it all, the Lord will never leave you alone. He will help you see you through all those times because He wants you to be the person He wants you to be. He could communicate with the king, chapter 2, verse 5, so that the king asked him, what can I do for you instead? Perhaps here I may illustrate another point. How doing God's work in your career is important. I was asked by Charan Imbi Chapel to conduct a series of Easter meetings. That time where I was in the teacher's college, I had to ask for permission to leave the state. So I said, for me to get permission from KL to leave the state, I had to wait a long time. And JIC could not wait. Can you or can you not? I said, okay, trust faith. Trust the Lord. Lord, if you, it's the will for you to me to go, go. Open the way for me to go. So I said, okay, I'll go. I asked to see my principal. I would have an appointment in Kuala Lumpur and on Easter day. I've got to go. I have to get permission from you, sir. Okay, you go first. I'll get the permission from you. We wait for the permission to come. So I went. And he wrote a letter covering me and put it in his drawer. He said, anything happens, I'll have this letter ready. So I went and I came back. Sir, has the letter come? No. No permission yet. A few days later, the letter came. Permission not allowed. I've already gone. This is God's will. How it's done. Do you believe in God's will? I believe heartily, wholeheartedly. When you do God's will, all these things will come about. You don't have to be afraid. This is God's will. His perfect will. So he was committed to the king. Do whatever he can while you are in your piece of work. Don't believe what this poster says. Leave your work behind and go to church. Don't bring it into the office. Go barefoot where you are and testify to the person of God where you are. How is our relationship with those above us? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I pray to God of heaven. And that's why the Lord granted him the help to go back to repair the wall. Right. He was not only the king's cupbearer, he was king's governor. He helped the king. That was his career, actually. The king's governor, to administer the government for the king. That's his profession. What are the principles that we can get when you are in your profession where you are? He was the king's representative. He carried out his official commission to implement the king's tax. He capitalized not his magisterial positions. As a minister, as a governor, he had a lot of privileges. Like today, we see in our own political world, many of these ministers have got big cars to go to travel in. They have got big meals to attend to and to feast on. They have got a lot of privileges. And yet, the people to whom they minister suffer. The people to whom they minister are poor. Today, Nehemiah came up. I refused all these things. Perhaps more would be like Anwar, refusing the pay. I refuse all these privileges given to me because I want to help the people. And this is the sacrifice some of us may have to pay if we do it as unto the Lord. He cared for his social obligations. He felt that his duties are more obligatory, and therefore he did not want to impose further burdens upon them. He continued in his spiritual functions. At the same time, he never absented himself from his spiritual responsibilities. Whereas he has his career responsibilities, he did not forsake his spiritual responsibilities. He remembered, if he was where he was, because the Lord put him where he was, not because where he could, he was entitled to be, but because the Lord put him there. And as such, he must keep the Lord in mind to fulfill the Lord's purpose. How do we discharge our responsibilities to our work? Every Christian, where we are, whether we be the cleaner in the office or whether we be in the administrator in the department, remember this. We need to carry out our responsibilities because our responsibility is unto the Lord and not to the person above us. He was God's representative. He was guided by the fear of God, chapter 5, verse 15. He was guarded against frauding God. He did not cheat God, chapter 5, verse 9. He exposed God's guilt and faulted God's defaulters. In other words, he was brave enough to stand up to those who did wrong. I still remember a case where I was in charge in the teachers' college of the Department of Education and Audiovisual Aids, where a person, when a lecturer came, and he borrowed the tape recorder, the video tape recorder from my department. I asked him to sign a form that he was taking it to record a football match between the college and another school. Okay. And after that, the next day, the recorder came back to me. I was not in the department. My assistant was. Another lecturer came along to borrow the tape recorder, the video recorder. He took it, and then he played it in front of all the teacher trainees. And what did they see? All see? He saw obscene photographs because he had been using that tape recorder, that video recorder, not to record a football match, but to record obscene photo videos. And he was found out. And he said, I was responsible. That was mine. Fortunately, my assistant and all the others, they were able to testify clearly that it was not mine. It demanded even an investigation from Kuala Lumpur because they suspected me. The Lord protected me. If you are ready to stand for the right, the Lord will be with you. When they exploited their position, when they exerted their own people, they were unscrupulous. They were prepared to tax their own people, to exploit from them, take high interest from them, take the gains. A Christian can never do that. And when a Christian is asked to do that, he has to stand up. Not for his rights, for the people's rights. And that's why they do not want you to bring your faith into your work. Because if you bring your faith into your work, these people will be wrong. They will be in trouble because you will stand up for the right. But are you standing up for the right? Everybody's doing it. So what's wrong? What's wrong? Okay, let's join the crowd. Is that what a Christian does? Is it possible today to adopt Nehemiah's motto of work? I did not do because of the fear of God. I did not do it because of my fear of God. Think about it. In the context of your working situation, especially when you want to get on ahead, please the boss. Make the boss happy. Do it, even if it's wrong. So these are the principles that you would have to face with as a Christian in your career. He was the people's representative. Let's remember that. Every minister in the parliament today is a people's representative. But when they are up there, they do their own. They are mindful of their own rather than of the people's condition of things. The official is the people's servant being paid by the people. He sympathized with the people. Chapter 5, verse 18. He was with them. He was in distress because they were highly taxed. They were being cheated. He sacrificed for the people. Chapter 5, 18, you just read. I have no time to read. He served the people. 5, 19. What is our relationship with the people whom we serve in our work or with our own colleagues? And that's a challenge to all of us. How are we related to them? How are we? Not only them outside, in a church, how are we related to one another? Let us be show the love that we need to show as God's people. Should the leader and stand apart or should be among his subordinates in the work? Again, the barefoot leadership comes in. Should you bare your feet and go in among them, or should you retain your shoes and stand up above them? Nehemiah was a leader with principles, and I hope that we can maintain these principles as we go on in our career. What are they? He used the principle of motivation. And by the way, these principles are useful not only for the career outside, but even for the church inside. For elders and for deacons, for leaders in the various departments, let us pay attention to these principles, what they are. He used the principle of motivation, for the people had a mind to work, chapter 4, verse 6. They finished the work early, not only in time, but early. Why? Because, as we read in chapter 4, verse 16, they had a mind to work. The people under them had a mind to work. Why? He set them example himself. He was not the one who said, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Me? Sorry. I am at the top. He is the barefoot leader. You do this, I'm with you. That's what he says. He initiated the work on the wall, firstly. Secondly, he said, let us. You do it. No. Let us. You do it. No. Let us. Let us. And he says, let us rise up and build. He always included himself in this barefoot leadership. He included himself. It's not others do and he won't do. But he will be involved in one way or another, not exactly the same thing that he will then ask them to do, but at least involved in what they were doing. He said, we will arise and build. We will arise and build. And that's the whole principle behind it all, to get the work going. He identified with them on the wall. He was with them. He did not let them be. He did not let them go. He did not say, this is your work. Do it. Mine is mine. Yours is yours. But he said, I'm with you. Although I'm not doing the work as you do, but I'm with you. I know what you are doing. I will be with you. Yes, you'll see what he goes on from there. He gave them an explanation. He imposed a need. Look, this is why you need to do all this. He has a goal. He has a purpose. He knows what he's doing. He imparted a need. He inspired a response. Come, let us do it. Not you alone. I'll be with you. I may not be among you, but I'll be with you. I will give you every help I can to help you do what you would like for the Lord. He initiated an action, chapter 2, verse 20. Let us rise, let us go forward. He injected a purpose. Why are we doing that? He gave them a purpose. He just not give them just as a routine. Just go on, go on, go on. But he gave them a purpose. Must workers below to be initiated in, must workers below us be initiated into the objectives of the program and their cooperation asked for, or should they just be treated as pen pushers just to follow directives? My time, yes. The word pen pushers came from my time, where the people at the top would be just pen pushers. They knew how to write. I would write a lot of directives, and then we had to follow. Are we supposed to be like that, if we are leaders? He gave them an explicit impulsion. God was with him. The hand of my God was good upon me. God was for them, our God to fight. The whole thing was not for him. The whole thing was for God. For God, do it for God, please. Don't look at me. I have got my own failures. I have got my own weaknesses. Please, don't look at me. But I'll be with you. Look at God. God is great. He is great. He is the one who can help you through. He used the principle of organization. He cut the problems down to size. Chapter 3. This and this, so-and-so built this. So-and-so built where? So-and-so built from here to here. He cut his task into sections. Work was allotted according to responsibility. The priest had to do sheep gate. He did not leave the priest to do other gates. The sheep gate was important for the sheep to come into for sacrifice. The priests were there. Fit the people according to their work and their ability and their capacity, not where you want them to be. Capacity. There were individuals in one corner of the wall. There were families working on one section of the wall. There were groups, all according to their capacity and all according to their capability. If they could do this, let them do. Challenge them to the very uttermost, to the very best of what they could be. That's what the leaders should do. Sometimes we find the work too much beyond us because either we are trying to make both ends meet or trying to catch the eye of the boss to obtain that disturbing promotion due to us by taking more than we can chew. Consequently, we have no time to spare for the Lord's work or for the family. Is it right? Think for yourself. It's up to you. He set a pattern for work in sections. He divided the whole wall into various sections. Section by section, he did not give the people the whole wall or anywhere they chose, but he chose a section for them. Each had his sphere of service, chapter 4, verse 13. Each had his size, some longer section, some shorter section, according to the capacity and ability of each one. Each had his specified service. There was no competition among themselves. Each, some builded, some sanctified, some repaired, some fortified, some laid, others set up, some building, others bearing burdens, some working, others warring with spears in their hands. Each had a supplementary service as well. Each one had one hand, a shovel in one hand, a spade in one hand, and with another a spear. Each had a separate service of taking guard of the work. Each had a sense of service. Everybody had a mind to work, no matter what it was, everybody. Everybody must be involved, each according to his own capability, each according to his capacity. This is a challenge, not only to all the leaders in outside, but also to all the leaders inside. These are principles of service that are important in the ministry of the Lord's work. Evaluate your work pattern or lifestyle in the light of your obligation to yourself, your family, your church, and first and foremost, your God, where you are, where you study. Yeah, I just nearly left that out. Where you study to is important. All this in the will of the Lord. He used the principle of coordination. While the people were working, each in his own sphere, he said, resort you hither and to us. There's no such thing as, this is your work, I don't care. But I'll help you where I can. The workers were varied. There were all types of workers. There were priests, There were plenty nymphs. There were all sorts of people, the goldsmiths, the perfumers, the common people, all were there. Yet he was able to establish teamwork, but all working together and with one goal in mind. The workers were volunteers. Many of them were just volunteers. They did more than what they could do. They did another portion. Yet he was able to emplace and train workers. There were the priests. They were not trained for working in such conditions, but he put them where they could be used. And that's the leadership, the barefoot leadership of the leaders, where the leaders would know who were the people under them. And they would put them in the places where they could be most useful, but not just put them in places where they were not being able to be used of and bringing about unpleasantness. These were the leaders. The workers were valiant. They were committed to the task. Everyone, even the followers, could see that the leaders were very, very respectful of the Lord. So we see that he was able to extract the additional ounce from them. That was good leadership. Nehemiah, the good leader. Food for thought, last one. Our attitude towards work will either motivate us to give of our best and not mind extra burden. That's what it should be. If we should encourage in every one of us here, do our best. And when we are needed to help somebody else, let us lend a hand. This is what it is to do the will of God and to do the work of God. Make us, or in the other way, make us hate our work so much that we destroy every request to work with or help others to do just that little extra. Which group are we in? Food for thought. Discuss the causes that bring about either attitude and how we can adopt a healthy attitude towards our work, seeing that we need the work to earn a livelihood. Yes, it's not so easy. Mr. Ang, you're just talking rot. You're talking theory only. You are not putting to practice. And that's why I'm testifying to what I had did just now, to say that what I said was practical, that believing in God's will was practical, doing God's will is practical. And up to the very day, I can testify to the will of God in our life and in my wife's life. Just as recently as this year, how the Lord had come into our lives in a very special way. We could testify to all that. God's will, God's way, God's word. This is my motto. And I hope it will be for those who are where you are, leaving this place, to work in another place, to study in another place, that you will be with the Lord in God's will, in God's way, in God's work. He used the principle of commendation. When a person does well, he commends. And he says he knew whose workers were. That's why he knew the names of all these people who were on the wall. Imagine that. He knew how his workers worked. He knew those who worked extra, those who repaired a second section. He knew those who repaired a second time. He knew. He did not leave them alone. He was a good leader. He was among them. He was a barefoot leader. He knew who went out of their way also. For example, the Tekoites went out of their way to do the extra when their nobles went out of their way to escape work. Chapter 3, verse 27. Do you feel cheated just because those above you never seem to recognize the hard work you put in? Sometimes you feel that you are just a statistic in the workforce. Worse, when it comes to recognition or promotion, it is the other chap who gets it, not you. not you. When such a feeling creeps into you, how should you respond? How should you react? So last one, the principle of commitment. Our God shall fight for us. Can this be your motto from today onwards? Our God shall fight for us, whatever it may be. All this while Nehemiah directed the workers of God. It was God who motivated him in the first place. It was God who was their master whom they served. It was God who could help them in their problem. It was God who would fight for them and their families. As for Nehemiah, the motivation falls behind this commitment when tempted to behave as his worldly colleagues did was what was described above was not what his colleagues did. When others in your group did the wrong things and got promotion, would you do the wrong things and also get the promotion? Or would you stand firm in God, trusting him to work things well at the end when you stand firm for him? But so did not I, because of the fear of God. It's the fear of God in you to make you do the will of God, to make you do the will of God, to make you do the will of God in the way of God. May the Lord bless you. So remember this. I finish with these words. So did not I, because of the fear of God. And I speak of all these things from all these years of experience as a Christian minister, and as a professional career man as well. It's from my heart that I speak all this based on the principles of Nehemiah that you have studied so many much. And next week, you'll be continuing with Nehemiah chapter 6, while I will wait for the next time when I shall be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the way thou hast established thyself in thine will imposed upon us. We commend thee to Uzziah and all the others who will be leaving us too. We do pray that thou be with them, that they will be ready to do thy will, to do thy will, to do thy work, and in the way that thou would have them to do. That, Lord, thou would bless them where they will be and what they will be later on. And for all of us here, let us also be faithful to thee, to be what we shall be, to be according to thy will, to do according to thy will, to do thy work, to do thy way in thy way and in the work that we are called upon to do. Hear us, Lord, we do pray. We ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.